Glory to God. Smile at someone and you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you to our worship team. Glory to God. Didn't they do a wonderful job? Man, it makes you glad you're in church. Shoot. Did y'all see me run up those stairs like I just did a while ago? I was inspired by Pastor Zach. I saw him go up there and I almost didn't even use that handrail. But then I remembered, you know, the steps of the righteous man are ordered to the Lord, so I'll just take one step at a time. Praise God. What an honor to be here. Anytime I get an opportunity to share here with our Rainbow Bible Church family, it is my honor and my privilege. There's no better place that you could be ministering than right here. The work that goes forth from this ministry, and glory to God. All the things that have been done, the wonderful pastors we have. And we've got, we call them around here a lot of times, I'll call them the quad, Pastor Denise and Pastor Craig and Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. I'm so grateful for them. And we get to share them with the world. And they go out all over the place and they share the same message that they bring here at service. So we're so grateful for that. And I'm grateful for all of you. Because without you, I'd be preaching to empty seats. I thought that was really funny. I'm going to write down that it wasn't as funny as I thought it was. And we've used it for the last time, so glory to God. Did you bring your Bibles tonight? Go with me to Isaiah 55. And I want to talk to you. I'm going to continue talking to you about breaking out this evening. It just seemed good to continue along this line. This is a subject that very important to me because of some of the thinking that I had, the wrong thinking that I had over the years and the things that I've had to overcome in my thinking about who I was. And, when the scripture says not to think more highly of yourself than you ought, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't think highly of yourself, right? Because, I mean, God thinks a lot of you. Had the Lord share this with me a number of years ago. I was a little down on myself, and sometimes we say things about ourselves, but then we realize the Lord just spoke to my heart and he said, "What are you worth?" And just asked me that question. And he said, "For me, my only begotten." And he just reminded me how, like, when we're, if you went to buy a car, and you may say that you have a car and you're like, "This is a classic car and this car is worth $100,000. And you tell everybody, "I've got this classic car, it's worth $100,000. But it's really not worth $100,000 unless when you go to sell it, somebody will give you your asking price. If they only give you $75,000 for it, guess what it's worth? $75,000. And the reason for that is because the purchaser determines the value. Isn't that right? Well, God must have thought you were real special because he paid a great price for you. Isn't that right? And so I used to be down on myself a lot, and I struggled with that. I can remember many years ago when I was working for the Department of Veterans Affairs, worked for the federal government, and I would go into rooms. I was in an executive position, and I would go into rooms, and I'd be wearing a real nice suit, had my shoes polished, my hair was combed, and I looked good, really. And I say that in the utmost sincerity right now. No, I mean, I was dressed for the occasion. I was doing work, but I would be in there to give a presentation, and I can remember feeling like I was out of my element, like I didn't belong there. Now, I had been invited to speak, but on the inside, nobody knew it. From outward appearances, they looked at how I was dressed. I was dressed to present. I was ready to share with them the information that I was going to share. But on the inside, I didn't feel like I ought to be there. And it came as a result of wrong thinking over the years, for many years, not thinking about myself that I was worthy or that I was valuable. If you've ever heard me speak before, you've heard me share some of my testimony. I grew up in a significantly impoverished area in the lower part of Southern Illinois. We lived between Southern Illinois and Western Kentucky on both sides of the river. But in our neighborhood, it was a Section 8 neighborhood, and folks didn't have a lot. My dad was an iron worker, and he provided for us as best he could. I'm not saying that we were abused or mistreated. My parents did the best that they could for us. But in the times we were living in the area that we were living in, there was a significant high rate of poverty. And you didn't experience life in the way that some other folks did, because sometimes you didn't have the means to be able to do that. Well, how many of you know sometimes missing out on things affects you a little bit? When you start thinking about where you came from, sometimes even if you break out of the mold, you feel like that you don't belong where you're at. And that's actually what this image was about. If you were here the last time I spoke a couple of weeks ago talking about this same thing, I shared with you that there was a study that was done by a German scientist a number of years ago who took a pike and put it in this fish tank, and pike love minnows. And so he put minnows in this fish tank as well, but the pike was on the other side of what he didn't know was a plate glass. And it kept hitting itself up against the plate glass trying to get at these minnows. And it wasn't able to get to them. The guy, when he was doing it, he noted even that it hit it so hard that he flipped over and basically knocked himself out, this fish did. When he came to, he got to the point where he quit hitting the glass trying to get to the minnows. And then the scientist removed the glass, and the minnows were able to swim freely around the pike, and it never even tried to eat them anymore. And so the deduction from the scientist was that because of past experience, now something that should have been possible seemed impossible for this fish. And it's like that for us as well. Maybe you went through some things in your life before you got to the point that you're at now, but those things that you went through, the thinking processes that you had from those past experiences, will still hold you back if you allow them. And unless we do some breaking out, unless we do some mindset shifting, unless we change some things, we'll always be held hostage to the way that we used to think. And the scripture in Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 6, says this. It says, "Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he's near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously." Aren't you glad for that scripture? "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth, the cause of the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It's the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit." Aren't you glad for that verse? "It always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." You know why that's great news for you? Because he sent it to us. It'll prosper everywhere he sent it. Glory to God. But you know, when the Lord, I used to read this passage, and I used to think of it like the Lord was saying, "Dummy, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And so you can't think like me." That's how I used to read that passage. I thought it was like God was, you know, letting me know how finite I was and how superior he was. But the reality is that he gave us his word in order to give us his thoughts. Don't we have the book? And isn't the book his words? And how are books written? From your thoughts. The thoughts that you're thinking, if I was to write a book, the thoughts that I'm thinking will precede the written word on the page. Isn't that right? Your thoughts will always precede action. That was real weak. Your thoughts will always precede action. You know, we were having a conversation this morning in the back, and I said this. I said, you know, people say sometimes, "Oh, I just did that without thinking." Well, you might have done it as an impulse right now, but there was a series of thoughts that took place well beyond that, well before that, that led you up to the point where you would release whatever it was that you were doing in action or word that day when you did it. That's right. You know, if you've ever been mad at your wife, now I couldn't get mad at my wife. I married up. So When we got together, man, she was way out of my league. I say all the time that between God and Sarah, they really did a work in my life. And so I'm so grateful for her. My girl. But if I were to say something harsh to her, it didn't start, it wasn't a spur of the moment thing. I had to have been doing some thinking that led me to that point. Maybe she did something and it upset me a little bit, and then I didn't deal with that, and then eventually it festered, and she, now I'm, this is certainly abstract, and this is just an example because this never happens around my house. All right, just making sure we're with you. I mean, I'm talking about your wife. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'll get myself in bigger trouble. But there are thoughts that precede the action. You're not going to, you know, you didn't wake up one day. People don't wake up one day and say, I just think I'll commit a little murder today. Right? I think I'll, you know what? I think today I'll rob a bank. It started well before the decision was made. Well, God says to us, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But he gives us his word so that we know his thoughts. But it's up to us to get in the book and find out what God's thinking, to know what he's thinking about us. We said this to you just in just to give you a brief overview if you weren't here. One of the things we said to you is our thoughts can act as a prison or a pardon. They'll either hold you back or they'll turn you loose. Your actions, we said, words or deeds, I don't have to wonder about what you're thinking about. It's a lot more discernible than what people think. If I want to know what you're thinking about, all I got to do is see what you're doing or what you're saying. Isn't that right? And if I can see what you're doing, if I can see what you're, you know, hear what you're saying, I'll know what you've been thinking about for long periods of time. And God knows that your actions are affected by your thoughts, and the devil knows that your actions are affected by your thoughts. And so that's why the enemy tries to get us thinking down a particular line, and God wants us thinking in line with his word. Because it will control our actions. And you think about how valuable that is for God, for the kingdom of God. That the only ones that have been given the responsibility to take the gospel into all the world are us fine folks here with articulate speech. So it behooves us to make sure that the right things are coming out of us when we go. Isn't that right? And so therefore, it's important that we think along the right lines so that the things that we want to produce are produced in our lives. Amen? But the enemy wants us thinking about different things because it will affect the fruit that's produced. That knowledge should really help us to deal with people that are difficult in our lives. Sometimes we get so angry with people. I just said this the other day. I was filling in. I don't have a class this term, but I was at the school and I was talking to the students and I said, you know, people want to get mad at other folks for things that they're doing, and they want to let the enemy get away with all the enticing that he's doing to get them stirred up to do the things they're doing. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have personal responsibility, but it wasn't me that said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen, brother. Now you're really preaching. Thank you. I thought I heard you say that, hon. I just wanted to give you credit. So we a lot of times are, the enemy will get somebody stirred up and they'll cause difficulties in our life because he's planting thoughts in their lives. Really, we ought to feel sorry for folks that are being used by the enemy to bring harm into our lives. I just had a conversation with somebody the other day, and there's this word that gets thrown around all the time that they say, well, that person, they're a narcissist. And I told the students, I said, unless you're a clinician, you don't get to make that diagnosis. That's a clinical condition. And if someone is acting that way towards us, Shouldn't we be praying for them? If they have a mental condition that causes them to treat people in some kind of way. Because if they had cancer, we'd pray for them. If they were having a bad day because they'd been going through chemo and they got a little snippy, and we'd say, well, you know, they're dealing with something. No matter what they're dealing with. I mean, God, Jesus is still the cure. But no matter what they're dealing with, what if we were giving people a pass so that the enemy couldn't use their thoughts and their actions to harm us, and it wouldn't change our thoughts towards them? Okay, that was free. We also said to you, breaking out requires reprogramming our minds for success. It's not going to be automatic. We're going to have to do some things, because in our lives up until this point, you are a product, I am a product of the thoughts that I've continually thought. You're a product of verbal programming, we said, visual programming, experiential programming, all of those things that we've gone through, that we've seen, that we've allowed ourselves to look on, that we've done. All of those things develop the programming, and really we're recording on our hard drive, this one, the behaviors and the responses to the intake. The good news is, just like a hard drive in a computer, if you don't like the output, we can reformat. We can change some things and things will be different. Amen? So the second thing we said to you was, breaking out requires reprogramming our mind in order to succeed. You're a product of the thoughts that you continually think, the imaginations you entertain, and the memories that we cling to. And everything that we experience begins with a thought. That's why it's interesting, you know, when in Jeremiah, when it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That would be like a potter in clay. Before I made the pot, I saw it in here. Before I painted the picture, it was a picture in my mind. Before I wrote the book, it was thoughts in my head. How valuable are the things that's going through here? And it's the reason why the enemy will work so hard to try to break up our thinking, to get us thinking along lines that will cause harm and not good. He'll try to get you to think about all those thoughts. And we said to you last time we talked to you, you know, maybe harsh words were spoken to you. Maybe people said things about you that you're never going to make it. You're stupid. You're worthless. You've got no value. You've reached your peak. And somewhere along the line, if we allow ourselves, we hear those things, we begin to believe them, and we rise to the level of the words that have been spoken over us. And if we never break out, if we never change our thinking, what we've done is we've found our ceiling. We found our stopping point. But God says there's more. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Amen? Amen. I told you, I mentioned this to you. I said that's the reason why social media is so dangerous. People don't realize that for, you know, if I want to know what you're thinking about, all I really got to do is look at your Instagram feed or your Facebook feed or your TikTok. I'm not on TikTok now. I got on TikTok at one point because I worked for a company and I managed social media and I got on there, but man, it was a gutter. And I got on there and I was interested in finding out about baking. And so I started looking at some videos about baking, and then I noticed that every video on TikTok is about baking. And so I just kept scrolling through all these baking videos, and I'm like, pretty soon I thought everyone was a baker. And nobody else was baking anything. But the algorithm had generated, because it said, oh, you like baking? Here's some more content. Oh, you like that? Here's some more content. Well, that's how social media works in mass. You know, if you'll remember back, and I'm not going to make this political, I'm not trying to, but you know how at the last election cycle, so many people were so polarized from one another. And really, Facebook told us what they were doing. There's a video called The Algorithm in 3 Minutes Explained. And it tells you what happened was it created echo chambers around what it thought people liked. It said, oh, you're looking at videos about this? Well, here's some more of that. And here's a guy who thinks the same way you do. And here's his cousin. He thinks the same way you do. And all of these people that thought the same way you did, you were just seeing their content, and there was this whole other group of people thinking something entirely different, but we were all being made to think a certain way because even the world understands that if I can get you thinking in a particular way, well, then I've got you, right? I thought forever that if I had a pair of Air Jordans that I could dunk. I have owned Air Jordans, and I still can't dunk. That's just a side note. That's all totally free, but anyway. Changing our thinking can help us to break out of past failures. Even if your mind's been programmed wrong, there's still hope, just like rebooting your system. Pastor Denise, last time she taught on Mind Trap, and she said, you know, the science says that you can... think enough thoughts, replace it with enough thoughts. She gave us some things to meditate on, but it takes, I think it's 10 thoughts to overcome one thought that's been programmed already. Well, we need to understand then that the things that we're allowing to come through our eye gate, through our ear gate, the things that we're experiencing, whatever we're allowing into our lives, we're going to have to work real hard to then get them out. And the devil knows that. And so he works real hard to get you looking at certain things, to get you thinking certain things. Because when he does, he'll get you acting certain ways. Yeah. Amen, brother. That's good. Thank you. I'll keep preaching. Satan is in the business of head games because he knows that our mind can be poisoned by programming wrong information into it. It's just like if you're eating the wrong stuff all the time. Now, I'm from the area where I'm from. There's a drink. It's my favorite, bubbly, like carbonated beverage. I shouldn't drink soda at all, but I drink something called Ale 8-1, which is a ginger ale drink. It's like a party in your mouth. I heard a guy one time got some on his forehead and his tongue liked to beat him to death getting to it. Okay, it's not that good. But I was, like, during COVID, I was eating a lot more, and I was doing a lot less walking, and I was expanding my ministry. Yeah. I was getting bigger, and, you know, I was growing up. Well, growing out mostly, but I was growing either way. I had the worst doctor's visit that I had ever had in my life. I went to the doctor and he told me I was a lot of pre-stuff, like pre-diabetic. And he said, you are pre-hypertension, like you're right there on the edge. And he kept going down this list of things that I was pre-this and pre-that. And I said, in all sincerity, I said, oh my goodness. I said, do you think if I lost weight it'd help? And he leaned back in his chair so far, I thought he was going to fall out of it. He said, well, my Lord, it'll cure it all. The intake that I had in my natural diet was all stuff that was bad for me. I was taking in lots of processed sugar. I was taking in, now I'm not preaching diet to you. I'm just telling you about where I came from. I was doing all of these things that I was feeding myself that was causing me harm. Well, in the same way, and this is where I wanted to get to tonight. I'm going to give you some things that if we'll fix these things, will help us to break out of whatever thinking patterns we might be stuck in. The first one is this issue of diet. What we're taking in. If we change what we're taking in our thought life, it'll change us. In the same way, if we change what we're taking in the natural, One person said this. They said, the mind's more vulnerable than the stomach because it can be poisoned without feeling immediate pain. They said, if we demand an honest statement of the ingredients on every package of food we buy, it seems strange that we would treat our minds any different. If we want to know what it is that we're taking in our bodies, oh, has it got GMO in it? I need to know. Am I making fun? But if we're looking at the ingredients on our package when we buy stuff that we're putting in this body, why are we not questioning the things that are coming towards our minds? And are we allowing just everything that comes along, every ugly thought that somebody wants to dump into our lives? You know, people leave churches over stuff like that. They'll let somebody in the congregation give them some ugly thought. They'll say something to them. The people will, instead of rejecting it when it comes, they'll embrace it and they'll leave upset. Not here. I'm talking about other places, and not you either. Thank you for watching. We're talking about those other folks, really. It happens in churches all over. People will allow themselves to start thinking along a line that will cause, all of a sudden, the pastor's not doing stuff right. Well, if they do it this way, well, if they just change the way they were doing it, how? To how you want to do it. Could you imagine if the pastors of the churches were doing what everybody wanted them to do? Unless y'all were all in the same boat with the same mind and one mind and one accord, could that cause a problem at some point? Yeah. I'm just going to lean here while we think about it. Absolutely it could. Or if they changed with every whim. You said, I think we ought to do this. You know, really, if you'd fix this, we could do this. And somebody else says, well, I liked it the way it used to be. And so every Sunday, things were different. But that line of thinking would cause harm. Isn't that right? Why would the enemy bring those kind of thoughts? What if you were the kind of person that when the enemy brought that kind of thought to you, you immediately rejected it? What if the Bible said something like this? Take every thought captive to the knowledge and the obedience of Christ. What if the Bible said that? Notice it didn't just say take bad thoughts. It said take every thought. Everything that runs through this noodle right here, you ought to grab a hold of it and determine, does this line up with what I believe in my heart? And if it doesn't, doesn't matter because I got it. It didn't go nowhere unless I let it. But then I make a decision what I'm going to do with it. And if it's not something that lines up with what I believe in my heart from the Word of God, then I reject it. I cast it down. Right? If it's a thought that lines up with God's Word, then I embrace it. And I allow it to get recorded in the processing of my mind. Amen? So the first thing is our diet. Man, time goes so fast here. The good thing is I can't see it from here. And so I'm, no, just kidding. I used to, congregation, I used to pastor, I used to say, who can give me 2 minutes? And somebody would always inevitably, could you give me 2 minutes? Yeah, anybody? No? There's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. That's all I needed. Thank you. The rest of you can put your hands down, but I'm saving it. No. Our diet, what we take in our minds, what are we watching? What are we looking at? What are we listening to? What are we reading? Who's in our ear? And if it doesn't line up with what God's word says, he said, my thoughts are not your way, your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. But then he gave us his thoughts and he showed us his ways. So we've got the litmus, amen? We know the test. The second thing is our associates. The majority of people that we hang around ought to be able to lift us up to a higher level. Who are we spending time with? In my life, I have circles. And there are people that I have in the inner circle, and they're folks that I can talk to them, and I can sow into their lives, and they can sow into my life, and I'll receive that. Just outside of that, I have another circle Were there people that maybe they're not, they've got some areas they're working on or whatever, but I use that as like a mentor relationship and they're still in my life. I keep them around. There's a further circle than that, that there are people that I'll say hi to you, but we are probably not going to lunch together. We're probably not spending a lot of time around one another because your thought patterns and your processes are not going to take me where I'm trying to get. Amen. I'm not going to push you out of my life because I love people. But I'm not going to let you in my inner circle where the things that you're thinking on that wouldn't be helpful to me are going to get recorded, and all of a sudden, I'm starting to act a little bit different. That's why, you know, some of these folks, they'll go out and they'll say, well, you know, my ministry's in the bars and in the strip clubs. You better be careful where you're going. You better know. You better know that you're called there, and when you go, don't be going alone and parking in the back. So, well, you know, it's a covert ministry. All right, just look straight ahead. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 13:20 says this. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. 1 Corinthians 15:33 in part says this. It says, bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Let me ask you this. If your friends can make you sharp, can they make you dull? It's important, the kind of friends that we've got, who we've got in our company. Limit your time around people who seem to bring you down. I'm going to give you this last one so I can finish this up. Are y'all okay with that real quick? All right. The last one is this, our environment. If we'll change, number one, our diet, what we're watching, what we're listening to. Number two, our associates, who we're hanging around for large amounts of time. Number three, our environment. We have to choose to go places with the right atmosphere. That's why it's so important to come to church. You know, when pastor says that it's important for us to get here and to get involved, it's not because he thinks, you know, yeah, he knows you got lots of stuff to do. We got lots of stuff in this world. But the more time we can get in an environment with like-minded people, amen, where we're around other people that, are Christian people perfect? No. But what if I'm spending lots of time around people who are striving to be more Christ-like? Will it affect the environment? It will, amen. So being around other believers, making sure that the environment is right. And lastly, breaking out means this. We have adjusted our thought life to see ourselves like God sees us. Breaking out means that we have adjusted our thinking. We've adjusted the way that we think, how we're looking at ourselves, what thoughts we're allowing in our head, what we're meditating on, to look like God looks, to think like God thinks. And it'll change the direction of our lives. Why? Because when you start thinking like God thinks, pretty soon you start talking like God talks. You start acting like He acts. Things are different. That's what the Bible means in Romans 12 when it says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you know that the analogy there is it's the metamorphosis like a butterfly when it goes into a chrysalis stage. But, you know, in looking at that, I have a friend who's a science teacher. He's actually, he teaches field biology. And a couple of years ago, I got an opportunity to work with him to tag monarch butterflies. You can actually, like the Monarch Butterfly Society, you can get these little stickers and you can put them on the wings of the monarch butterfly, and then they pay these people down in this little village in Mexico that will go out and count the tags so they can see how the migration's going. It's a really cool process. But I learned a lot about monarch butterflies, and monarchs require milkweed. So they'll lay their eggs on milkweed, and then they'll grow, and then the caterpillar will eat off the milkweed. I was thinking about that today, and I was like, wow, you know, if we desire the sincere milk of the word where we can grow thereby, we ought to be at least as smart as a butterfly. But then what they'll do is when they eat that milkweed, there's something within that milkweed, and they take some of that fluid in. And when they go into that chrysalis, that fluid on the inside of them is what causes them to be able to, while they're in the chrysalis stage, they're pumping their wings full of this fluid. And the reason I'm telling you this is because we had some of these chrysalises, and we were keeping track of them so that we could tag them. And one of them, the butterfly, fell and got damaged. The wing was damaged, and we were watching it. We got it out of the chrysalis, and its wings were all wrinkled. And one of them finally did come out, but the other one was still all wrinkled, and it was all messed up. And it didn't look like it was going to be able to make the flight the way its wings were. It wasn't going to be able to make the flight to Mexico. But the Lord reminded me of that, and really, that stunted growth that it had, it was because we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. If we don't renew our minds, what we're doing is we're stunting our own growth. And the things that God has called you to, and I don't know what He's called you to personally, but I do know what He's called you to collectively, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if we're not doing the things that are required of us in order to renew our minds, what we're doing is we're stunting our growth, and we'll never have the strength to be able to make the journey like we ought to make it. And I don't want to be one of those that's not able to make the journey and not able to do everything that God wants me to do. Do you? I want to be able to take the time to renew my mind, to get my thinking right, so that any pattern that might hold me back from what God is calling me to, I begin to think differently. How do I do that? By meditating on the Word. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate in it therein day and night. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Proverbs says, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. It's His Word. It's His Word. And when we begin to meditate on it, we begin to think like He thinks. We begin to see things differently, and we come up a level. We break out. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray for you this evening. We're going to go. I kept you a little bit over. Father God, I don't know what every person that's listening, maybe watching online, or those people that are here with us tonight, what they're going through. But I do know this, that we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. He tries to cloud our minds. He tries to get us thinking along a line, Lord, that would hinder the process of what You're doing in our lives, raising us up to another level, taking us to a higher place, giving us the tools that we need to fulfill Your plan and Your purpose. Tonight, I'm standing in faith with anybody that's here within the sound of my voice. Maybe they're at home. Right now, I'm praying for them. If they've been dealing with thoughts, negative thoughts right now, Lord, I'm adding my faith to theirs, Lord, that by the Holy Spirit's unction, You'll give them a word, a rhema word. You'll speak it to their heart, Lord, a word for their situation that they can stand on and begin to meditate on to break out of those old thinking patterns. Lord, whatever it is, the words that have been spoken over them that hurt them, Lord, the difficulties that they're facing because they don't see themselves as an overcomer. They don't see themselves as victorious, Lord, that You would give them a now word in their heart by the Holy Spirit that they can stand on. Oh, but listen, but then comes your part. He'll give you the word. But it's up to you to meditate on it. It's up to you to think on these things. But if you do, oh glory. Oh glory to God. Oh, we praise You, Lord. Oh, we praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Because You're good. You're so, so good. Just tell Him how good He is. Tell Him how good He's been to you. Lord, You've been so good. You've been so good to me. Lord, when I was in bondage, Lord, you set me free. And I'll go higher with you, and I'll see more than I've ever seen, because who the Son sets free, he's free indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're free. Say it with me. Say, I'm free. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil's a liar. Tell him, say, he's been lying to you. God says better about you. I love you guys. Thank you for your attentiveness. Pastor Bill, anything else? Pastor Zach, nothing? God bless you guys. Be here on Wednesday for Hour of Power. If you're here and you need individual prayer, our connection team is coming down. We just ask ladies go to the ladies and men go to the men. But these folks are anointed. They've been handpicked. They'll be able to believe God with you. Come down here. If you need prayer, don't leave here like you came. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday evening. Have a great evening.